Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to hear from you right now. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. Now again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today's a special day as far as charitable organizations are concerned. It's Giving Tuesday.
Yep.
And it was an initiative that started in 2012, and it's a worldwide initiative. I think different organizations and people in 93 to 95 countries is what I understood this morning are participating in this, giving to their favorite charities, their favorite causes, to make a difference in the world. And, you know, as far as making a difference in the world, what better way to make a difference than investing in the power of the gospel to transform lives? And so today on this Giving Tuesday, we're asking our listeners, our viewers, our readers to participate and to give a gift to further the gospel, to advance the gospel in this world today, so that more ears, more hearts can hear and can respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. There's life in his name. There's forgiveness in him. There's freedom to be had through faith in him. These are the things that people are longing for. These are the things that people really desire. And these are the things that the gospel delivers to every human heart that's receptive, that's open to the good news about Jesus. So help deliver that good news to people around the world and make a gift today to Basic Gospel. We have a wonderful matching gift in place. Several people pooled some resources and have offered a matching grant in the amount of $3,750. That means that your gift today, and this is just for today, tomorrow or next week, this is just for today. Your gift today will be doubled up to that amount of $3,750. So if we can get that amount, then we will have a target of $7,500 for today. It's our most ambitious goal for a Giving Tuesday, and we would love to see that met. Now, we're well along the way. At this point in the day, we've had about $1,500 that have come in on this Giving Tuesday.
Great.
So we've made a good start. We have a little ways to go. But what that means is, 50 people giving $45, we've matched the grant.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraging you as our listener, a viewer, a reader, to go to basicgospel.net and just click the big banner right on the homepage that says Giving Tuesday. There's a microphone on it with a crowd in the back. It says, Jesus is alive. Get the word out.
Yeah.
Well, that's what your gift today is going to do, to help us get the word out that Jesus Christ is alive. Because in that message is hope, life, forgiveness, and freedom.
Yeah.
So make a difference in this world. Give a gift today on Giving Tuesday to Basic Gospel.
Once again, you can go to basicgospel.net and click that big prominent link right on the homepage, or you can call 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love for you to be partner with us at Basic Gospel. And again, you can use PayPal outside the U.S. and Canada. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and Bob, looks like we have a call on the screen.
Yes, right here in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Word. Let's go and talk to Lana. Hi, Lana.
Hi there. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm fine. I really appreciate your program. And I have a question that's been a bit of a struggle for me through the years. We know that God intended one man for one woman, and Adam and Eve is certainly a picture of that for us. But I don't have my Bible with me because I'm in my car, but I believe that it was Nathan who, when he addressed David over his sin with Bathsheba, said something to him like, you know, God said, I've given you these wives, and if you had wanted more, I would have given them to you. So that is a bit of a frustration when we're looking at one man for one woman, and it can also be confusing to these cults that say you can have a number of wives. So So would you address that?
Well, thank you for the question, Lana. We certainly appreciate it. And yeah, that is one of the confusing things about
sure
reading
is.
The Old Testament, seeing that these men had multiple wives, all these saints, these giants of the faith.
Yeah.
I mean, Abraham had multiple wives, David. And you scratch your head and say, Lord, what's up with that? And because then you go back to Genesis and you see how God designed it. One man, one woman, Adam and Eve. And that's the way it was. And then Jesus carried that forward. He spoke about marriage as one man to one woman. Paul certainly echoed that same sentiment. Yet in the Old Testament, we see multiple wives. We see polygamy in practice, and a lot of cults, as you said, Lana, have used some of those Old Testament passages to really support polygamy in their religion. So, Richard, as far as that passage is concerned, Nathan confronting David about his sin with Bathsheba, what was the Lord getting at there?
Well, what God was saying to him is that, literally, I created you and your kingdom. I mean, everything that I had wanted Saul to be, and he failed to be, I am giving to you because you are mine. And if that wasn't enough, why didn't you say something? And so what he's doing is contrasting the generosity that God had toward David in creating his kingdom and giving him such incredible power and success, with David's very selfish, this is premeditation that David had practiced here, and the contrast is what God is painting through Nathan. I mean, he starts off with this imaginary story about a guy with one little lamb, you know, and the lamb was precious to the family, and some guy came along and took the lamb and killed it and ate it for himself, you know, and that act of selfishness, that premeditated selfishness, I'm going to do this because I want to. I'm the king. I can get away with it. Nobody's going to know. Even if they know, nobody's going to care. It kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it, with what's going on in our
yeah.
society today. And God says, no, that's not at all what I'm talking about. I gave you everything. What more did you need? This would be exactly analogous to us saying to God, well, I need more of the Holy Spirit, or I need to do more miracles. When God has told us he's given us everything we need for life and godliness, why are we being so unfaithful to him to demand more and to take it into our own hands to get it? And so God wasn't endorsing polygamy. He was saying, in light of this polygamy, and I even allowed it, why would you want to do more than I've already given you? I don't understand, David. Well, of course, he understands, and David knows that God understands. But the form of the argument there is really, really interesting.
Yeah, and he's not specifically speaking about wives. So
correct.
Says, I gave you your master Saul's house and his wives. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if this weren't enough, I would have given you even more.
Yes.
So God isn't saying specifically, you know, if you wanted more wives, I would have given you more wives.
No.
That's not what he's talking about at all in this passage,
that
Lana.
Helps.
Okay?
Okay. That helps so much. Thank you.
You are so
that
welcome,
really
Lana. Hey, thanks for your call and thanks for your question.
Yes,
God
indeed.
Bless you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Open lines for you, 844-322-2742 in Canada and the U.S. Toll-free, 844-322-2742. Guys, had a call from Angela. Let's listen to that call right now.
Hello, my name is Angela. My question is, what does the Bible mean when it says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked? Who can know it? I just want to know, when it's saying that, is that referring to the saints in any way? Okay, thank you.
Well, Angela, thank you for that question. So that's a passage out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, and it reads this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And I think Paul touches on this very same idea in Romans 7 when he says, I don't understand why I do the things that I do. It's, you know, we think the heart has good motivation. We think that's all well and good. And then we find out it has another agenda in place.
Yeah.
But I think when Jeremiah is speaking and when Paul is speaking, he's speaking about an unregenerate heart. He's speaking about someone who is lost, who is still dead in sin. Because when we come to Christ, Ezekiel tells us that we're given a new heart. Paul in Romans 6 says that in this new creation, in the fact that we have Christ living in us, and now we're united with Christ in spirit, that now we can be obedient from the heart.
Yes.
So our heart has changed. So when we were lost, it was an unbelieving heart. And an unbelieving heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. That's what an unbelieving heart is. But then when the gospel message hits that heart, something changes. We believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So it goes from an unbelieving heart to a believing heart. And in that believing heart is this desire to trust the Lord. Now, that desire is God-given. That's the result of the new creation. So as a child of God, as a saved person, you've been given a new heart, and that heart wants to be obedient to the Lord. It's the flesh, it's the world, it's sin that tells you differently.
Yes.
But deep within the core of who you are as a believer in Christ, and that's what you are at the core, a believer. Your heart is a believing heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You want to trust him in all things. So no, this passage in Jeremiah does not apply to a saved person. Your heart has been given truth, the truth about Jesus, and your heart is resting and has been transformed by that very reality.
Yeah, that really does a beautiful job of explaining the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Where does that battle take place? At the heart level. And so my flesh is constantly trying to tell me, no, you really need this. You really need this. I mean, your heart's telling you really need this. And the spirit says, no, it's not.
Yeah.
No, you're a new creation. You don't need to go there anymore. And thankfully, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we now have the choice to say, no, that isn't consistent with who I am anymore. I'm going to choose what the Spirit would choose.
Right. And in your heart, because Christ is there, and this gets to the big issue of repentance.
Yeah.
You know, what is repentance? And we just think of it as, hey, you need to go repent of that sin. And so what do most people do? They flash up a prayer saying, Lord, I repent of that sin. Now, they have no earthly idea what that means or what they're saying other than, I'm sorry that I did it. I'm sorry that I got caught. Please don't punish me. I'll try to do better tomorrow. Well, that's not repentance. Repentance is an action word. It's a directional word. So it's saying that at one time my heart was in the middle of the world system.
Yes.
You know, I was controlled by the desires of the flesh. I was controlled by the ways of this world. That's what moved me, and that's what I wanted. That's what I desired. I wanted to gratify the desires of my flesh. I come to a point I realize that's an empty way of life. There's nothing there. And this gospel message hits, and I see that life is really found in Jesus. Mm-hmm. He came that I might have life. And so my heart makes a move. It moves from the middle of the world and the flesh and that into the middle of Jesus Christ himself as the source of life.
Yeah.
Now, once that move happens, once repentance happens, the heart stays there.
Yes.
That's where the heart is from that point forward. And so the flesh is telling you, go the way of the world. The flesh is telling you, gratify this desire. The flesh is telling you this, or sin is telling you this. But in your heart,
you know
the Spirit of God is telling you, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the reality of a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Angela, glad you called, and I hope that's a help to you. And friends, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and if you have a question you'd like to pose, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Now, as Bob mentioned earlier, today is Giving Tuesday, and millions of people will contribute to their favorite causes, to ministries and charities alike, and to help make a difference in the world. I can think of no better way to make a difference than to invest in the power of the gospel through Basic Gospel. That's why I'm asking you today to make a gift to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and right now, hearts are crying out for the good news. Hearts all over the world for truth that will bring rest to their souls. So your gift today, as a matter of fact, as Bob also mentioned, will be doubled because we have a wonderful matching gift grant of $3,750. So your gift up to that amount will be doubled, and we would love to have your partnership. So on this special day, Giving Tuesday, let's join together as Basic Gospel Nation, as Bob so fondly says, and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call 844-322-2742 to make your gift, or go online and click that prominent link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net.
And our friend Joshua wrote to us on our Facebook page saying, hey, this is a ministry worth sowing into. I say this with full assurance. And he goes on to talk about the fact that we preach the good news of Jesus Christ, and that's certainly been a factor in his life. And so, Joshua, thank you for those kind words. And, the gospel is worth investing into.
Yeah.
I think it's the most worthwhile investment that we can make as human beings. And that's what we're asking you to do today on this Giving Tuesday, to help match this $3,750 matching gift. We're asking you to invest in the power of the gospel to transform lives. Joshua also had a great comment in response to our answer to Angela. He talked about the circumcision of the heart. When we're born again, we have a circumcision of the heart. It's made new in Jesus Christ. And that is just fantastic news. And that's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17 calls us new creatures in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come.
Yes,
that's great news.
That is
it?
Great news. Yeah. Well, guys, overnight, a call from Peggy. Let's hear that call right now.
Hi, Bob. This is Peggy again. I don't know if this will refer to the message today or not, but I'm calling on behalf of Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus is not real, and I'm having a hard time knowing what to do when it comes to telling your child all gifts are from God, you know, and the Santa Claus don't exist. How do I do this? Is it wrong to let them believe that Santa Claus, you know, even though I try to tell her that, you know, the gifts come from God? Kind of had a question right now. I'm a grandmother that's raising a child and trying to know what to do, because I don't want to lead her in the wrong way. She ain't but sick. I don't know what to do. You got any suggestions? Thank you.
Well, Peggy, I think I would just sit down and have a conversation with her. I mean, it sounds like she's old enough to understand the truth and to know the truth. And I think that's important, that we as parents or grandparents make sure that truth is the most important thing in your kid's life. And so I think you can tell the truth. And the other thing about the Santa Claus story, which I just despise, is the naughty and nice list.
Yep. Yeah.
And boy, talk about a slap in the face to the grace of God. That's not how God works. God doesn't have a naughty and nice list. He bestows his grace upon all. His grace is available to all. Why? Because we're all sinners. We're all dead. So no one is righteous. No, not one. Only God is good. So if God's going to have a relationship with us, it's not because of our good works. It's not because we're good people. It's not because we've earned that. It's because God just chooses to do it. So this whole story of Santa takes us in a different direction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That we have to be good in order to earn our gifts. And I don't think that's right. That's not truth. That's not the gospel message. And so you don't want your kids to project that the image of Santa Claus onto God. And there are many people in this world today who equate God with Santa Claus.
Yep.
If I do good, then he's going to bring good gifts to me. If I tithe regularly, every week, every year, that will bring good blessings, financial blessings to me. If I go to church, if I pray, if I read my Bible, these are all the things that are going to get me on the good list, God's good list. And if I'm there, if I'm on God's good list because I've earned my way onto that list, then I can expect him to reward me. If someone's sick, I can expect them to be healed. If someone is this, I can expect that. And so we're negotiating. We're making a contract with God. And that's not the way of grace. No. And so we've got to get rid of this Santa Claus mentality. And you might as well start with your kids young. Yes. And realize that if God chooses to bless us in Christ, that's his choice. You know, as far as Santa Claus is concerned, he chooses, according to the myth, the story, the fiction, he chooses to give us something good because we've earned it.
Yeah.
We've been good. Well, that's not the way of the gospel. So I think it's important to teach the gospel. And Peggy, it sounds like to me your granddaughter's old enough to hear this good news about Jesus. So tell the story. Tell the story of Jesus. That is more fascinating to a kid than the myth of Santa Claus.
Besides, it's real.
Right. Mackenzie, our youngest, she's hilarious. And she just gets it. And, you know, she lost a tooth when she was like 3 or 4. And Gina said, be sure and put it under your pillow tonight. So the tooth fairy. And she's like, Mom, there's no such thing as the tooth fairy. Just put the dollar under there. It's like kids get it. They understand. So tell the truth. That's what I encourage parents to do. Tell the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, finally, a call that came in overnight from Rick. Let's listen to that one right now.
Hello, guys. My name's Rick. My question is, how do you explain the doctrine of predestination? I certainly don't agree with it, don't believe it, but a lot of people seem to. So how do you address that one? Thanks, and God bless. Bye.
Well, predestination is one of those tricky subjects, and certainly it's been the cause of much debate, heated debate, through the years. You normally can't have a conversation about predestination without hurting somebody or getting your feelings hurt, because it becomes a nasty, nasty conversation. And the reason it becomes nasty is because we've made it about the yous and me's, but the Bible doesn't teach it toward yous and me's. It's to the Jews and the Gentiles. So what has God predestined? He's predestined that both Jew and Gentile would be saved in exactly the same way, and that out of those two groups, he would form one new man called the church.
Yeah.
That's what's predestined. So anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So when you read Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, Romans 9, 10, and 11, you see the context is Jew and Gentiles. It's about people groups, not individuals. So if we'll look at it from that perspective, predestination will fall into place, and it becomes the most unifying truth in the gospel.
Yeah, that really clears it up. Thanks for that explanation, and thanks, Rick, for your question. Friends, a final reminder that today is Giving Tuesday, as millions of people will contribute to their favorite charities, including ministries, to try to make a difference in the world. And I can think of no better way, as I said earlier, to make a difference than to invest in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we ask you today to make that gift to help share the good news of Jesus Christ. And at this very moment, the hearts of people all over the world are crying out for the rest-giving truth of Jesus Christ. Today, your gift will be doubled, and we appreciate so much the generous matching gift that's been given, so we encourage you to give. It will be doubled, and we will say thank you for that. It's Giving Tuesday, so let's join our hearts together as Basic Gospel Nation to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Please call 844-322-2742 to make your gift, or go online. There's a big, beautiful link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. No way you can miss it, basicgospel.net, or call 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.